For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa, filling in for Bob Levicky. Democrats are split over government and health care. Virginia is about to get a lot older. Slot machines are eating into education revenue. And JMU has a new campaign to prevent campus violence and sexual assault. This is the WMRA Daily for Thursday, August 22, 2019. Democrats are divided about how much of America's health insurance should be run by the government. That's leaving some industry groups worried about the future of Virginia's rural hospitals. From Virginia Public Radio, Michael Pope reports.
As many as 10 rural hospitals in Virginia could close if the federal government starts offering a public option health plan. It's now being talked about on the campaign trail by former Vice President Joe Biden and others. That's the conclusion of the Partnership for America's Health Future. Lauren Crawford Schaefer is executive director of the partnership, and she says the lower reimbursement rates from the government plan would put a squeeze on rural hospitals.
Those communities are already typically underserved and do not have access to all of the newest and most advanced medical treatments or physicians and specialists. There, they're going to have to even travel further to get the care that they need, and they'll have fewer options in getting that.
Sabrina Corlett at Georgetown University says, of course the partnership would be opposed to an expanded role for government in healthcare. It's a coalition of health insurance providers, hospitals, and big pharma.
You often see them put out studies that would highlight the potential downsides of an increased government role. This is a part of their strategy to create doubts and concerns about things like the public option.
Democrats are talking about a number of different options on healthcare. Some would do away with private insurance entirely, while others would have some kind of government-run health insurance that competes against private plans in the marketplace. Michael Pope.
Virginia lottery sales hit a new high in the last fiscal year, generating over $630 million in education funding. But sales have taken a dip in the last several months, according to lottery director Kevin Hall. Hall wrote a letter to lawmakers last week saying that new so-called games of skill machines might be taking a bite out of lottery sales. Secretary of Finance Aubrey Lane mentioned Hall's letter in a committee meeting on Tuesday.
He estimates we have over 4,300 of these machines now in ABC-allowed bars and restaurants across the Commonwealth, and they're actually moving some of the lottery machines out to put in these machines.
Virginia ABC said it believes at least some of the machines, which resemble slot machines, don't violate gambling laws. There is bipartisan support for protecting lottery revenue, which makes up about 10% of the state's K-12 education budget. The Wildlife Center of Virginia is releasing three bald eagles into the wild this week after they were nursed back to health. The first eagle is a juvenile bird spotted on the ground in Pocosin in June. Veterinary staff in the center in Waynesboro treated the hatchier bird for anemia, dehydration, parasites, and a low heart rate. The bird was released at noon yesterday at South Lawson Park in Pocosin. Two more bald eagles will be released on Friday. One of the eagles was admitted in May after it was seen standing on a woodpile near a campground in Hornton and seemed unable to fly. The second eagle was found in June eating in a ditch near a poultry processing plant and also was unable to fly. The eagles are scheduled to be released Friday afternoon at 2 at Muttonhunk Fen Natural Area Preserve in Accomack County. Yesterday was Senior Citizens Day. And as Virginia Public Radio's Michael Pope reports, the senior population in Virginia is about to experience a boom.
In the next 15 years, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, seniors will outnumber children. Frank Shafroth at George Mason University says that's right around the time that Social Security will go bankrupt. And yet, he says nobody in Congress or the White House seems to want to do anything about it.
They know a day is coming when that monthly check in the mail is not going to come, and no one seems to want to think about it, and certainly no one in this White House or this Congress appears to want to do anything about it.
Here in Virginia, seniors over the age of 65 won't outnumber children under the age of 18 until after 2040. Shonell Sin at the Weldon Cooper Center for Public Service says that's because the birth rate in Virginia is not declining as rapidly as it is in other states.
Even though we see aging to be consistent both nationally and in Virginia we do still have a significant younger population. So while aging is catching up with us, it is doing it at a slower pace.
She adds, we'll have a better idea of exactly what that pace is in Virginia and elsewhere after the 2020 census next year. I'm Michael Pope.
The Virginia State Conference NAACP has appointed a new president. He says a federal lawsuit filed last week over Confederate school names in Hanover County could breathe new life into the organization and have national repercussions. From VPM News, Charles Fishburne reports.
Robert Barnett lives in Hanover County, and it was his branch that initiated the federal lawsuit to change the names of Stonewall Jackson Middle School and Lee Davis High School.
We have African Americans who are compelled to wear school uniforms that identify themselves as Confederates and rebels.
The lawsuit says it violates their First Amendment rights and their 14th Amendment rights under equal protection. He says they have been before the school board for decades, but it recently voted 5-2 to keep the names.
The time has come.
Barnett was named president last week in an abrupt move by the NAACP, and he says this issue could help rejuvenate the organization.
Exactly.
Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Hanover officials say they won't comment on the pending litigation that was filed in U.S. District Court in Eastern Virginia. And finally today, last year, JMU adopted the Green Dot Violence Prevention Strategy, an interactive program focused on building skills to prevent violence and sexual assault on campus. With classes starting on Monday, Dr. Tim Miller, Vice President for Student Affairs, sat down with WMRA's Chris Boros, who asked him to explain the program.
Green Dot is becoming a nationwide movement, mostly on college campuses. Actually, all I know of is on college campuses, where we're trying to change, sort of flip the script on how people normally deal with sexual assault and those types of issues on a campus, where normally you sort of go after perpetrators and say, let's train those folks. And it hasn't worked. And I think what we really tried to do is think differently about this. And I'm saying we, like everyone involved in the movement, but we as a university, James Madison University, we've sort of joined what already existed. This started, my understanding is University of Kentucky started this and tried it the first time and has seen a real impact where instead of, you know, everyone tries to do a 1-hour training and says, great, we've now told you not to do bad things to each other. And now instead it's about how do we build a culture and challenge the existing culture. So what Green Dot is a much longer training. We take the student government president and train them in the 4-hour session so they know. We train some athletes. We train some other influential students. So they're out there in the community and they're wearing our little Green Dot symbol. And student says, oh, what's that? Oh, it's about everyone can make a difference. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something.
How do you think this is going to affect the campus overall?
I hope it's a game changer. It has been at other schools. You know, we really want our students to understand that we all have responsibility. When you're out with friends, each of you has to be responsible for each other, looking out for each other in that way versus, oh, this is one university office's job or that's the police's job or whatever. It's actually everyone's job. And I think we can't put it on one group. It really has to be a community thing because a community creates the culture. So the community has to change the culture.
What do you think ultimately, like, the students will gain from this?
You know, one of the best things about JMU is the sort of family atmosphere and the caring for each other. You know, one of the things we're known for is the holding the doors and, you know, sort of the awkward moment of you wait so long for a student to catch up to you because you're standing there holding the door for them. That needs to translate into every other aspect. You need to look out for your friend, not just when they're trying to walk through the door, but when they're going out. And to me, it's not just about sexual assault either. It's about, you know, maybe you shouldn't drive tonight. We do a lot of that, but I think that we can do more. And I think you extend that to a culture of care on a campus that is what, for me as an alum of JMU, I'm most proud of. But now as the vice president, I know we can be that and we can be an even better place than we are today.
What's that like for you? Went to JMU as a student and now here you are, vice president of student affairs. What's that like?
I mean, it's a dream. I mean, I'm living my best life and living my dream job, and to be able to come back here and help JMU become an even better place. I wake up every day excited to get to work, and I get to go and do what I know I'm meant to do in this world every single day, and I don't know too many people get to say that, and I love every minute of it.
How do you interact with students when you're on campus? Like, do you have a specific way that you approach students when you're on campus?
I've done a number of different things. So one of the first things I did is I go to the dining hall every Monday and have lunch. So I'm there at noon. Sometimes I'll awkwardly sit with a group of students. Other times I'll go with a student already. I've met with every single student organization in small groups, so about 15 leaders at a time.
Do you see yourself as an influential person in the Green Dot program?
I would hope so. I mean, I think because I've been in student spaces with them so much, they know who I am. They know that I'm approachable. I created a student advisory board that meets every month with about 50 students on it, so they can give me feedback on what to do at JMU. So because of that, as I've shared requests and thoughts with them, they seem to have really responded well to it.
And I think you being an undergraduate student at JMU probably helps your credibility a little bit.
Yeah, as a double duke, because I got my master's also, as we call ourselves, that gives me a lot of credibility walking in the door, because even though I left 18 years ago to go on and do the rest of my career and came back, people know that I know JMU. They know I love this place. They know that I married a Duke. They know I have a dog named Duke Dog. You know, because I am of this place, and because this place gave me who I am today, they know that everything I do, even if they don't always love it or understand it, is coming from the right place.
Where does that come from?
I became who I am today because of JMU. You know, I came here as a music major, wasn't sure what I was going to do with my life, and spent 8 years here as a student, as a staff member, and then as a graduate student, becoming myself and becoming my best self. And I have to give back to JMU for that. If I spend the rest of my life and career giving back to this place, it'll be a life well lived.
Dr. Tim Miller is the Vice President of Student Affairs at James Madison University. Dr. Miller, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
To learn more about JMU's Green Dot Initiative, visit WMRA.org. This story had production assistance from WMRA's Sarah Amin. For WMRA News, I'm Christopher Correa. Thanks for listening, and enjoy your Thursday.